بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وأفضل الصلاة وتم التسليم على سيدنا محمد الصادق الوعد الأمين وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن تبعهم بإحسان ودعا بدعوتهم إلى يوم الدين. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا وزدنا علما وعملا يا رب العالمين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته.
First of all, we start with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's praises. We thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who has granted us this ability to come to the masjid in this blessed month of Ramadan to pray our salah in jama'ah and thereafter study the knowledge of the Quran. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make this daras of ours a means of success for us in this life and in the life hereafter, inshaAllah.
Ameen.
So yesterday, alhamdulillah, by the grace of Allah, we started the tafsir of Surah Al-Fatiha. We didn't actually start the actual surah, but we discussed the meaning of tafsir, the virtue of Surah Fatiha, the power that Surah Fatiha holds, and the importance of Surah Fatiha in the Quran. And a few things we mentioned yesterday was that Surah Fatiha is a summary of the entire Quran. And we also discussed the various names of Surah Fatiha. So we have Ummul Quran, Ummul Kitab, As-Sab'ul Mathani. These are various names that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave these names to Surah Al-Fatiha. And we said that Surah Al-Fatiha, Al-Fatiha means to open something or the opening of something. And the reason why Surah Al-Fatiha is named as Surah Al-Fatiha is because it is the opening of the Quran. It is where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is introducing himself to his servants. Okay? So inshallah we're going to be discussing this surah over the next few days, maybe the next week inshallah. So just a quick recap, and inshallah there's a lot of faces that were here yesterday as well, so I'll ask a few questions. What does tafsir mean?
Explanation.
The technical meaning, the deeper meaning. That's the literal meaning. The deeper meaning of tafsir, what does it mean? To understand what?
Quran and what is
Allah. Yes, the meaning of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's speech, so that we may adhere to the commands of Allah and stay away from the prohibitions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, this is the deeper meaning of the tafsir. And then we said that al-isti'adha means to say a'udhu billahi min ash-shaytanir rajim. We talked about the importance of a'udhu billah, that the importance to recite a'udhu billahi min ash-shaytanir rajim just before we start reciting the Quran. Okay. And we said that the reason why we need to recite the isti'adha before we recite the Quran is because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded us to say a'udhu billahi min ash-shaytanir rajim. So Allah says that فَإِذَا قَرَأْتَ الْقُرْآنَ فَاسْتَعِدْ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ. That when you recite the Quran, seek protection in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the cursed shaitan. Okay? And another reason why we say a'udhu billah is because we are purifying our mouth from the filth that the mouth holds, the sins that we commit with our tongue. And you know, this is also related to shukr, which we're going to talk about today. But we purify our mouth from the filth that it holds. Why? Because we sin with our tongues. We backbite people, we lie, and we abuse people with our tongues. So to purify our mouths, the Mufassirin say that this is why we say A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitanir Rajeem, because now we are going to be uttering the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are pure. Okay? Inshallah, we'll move on with the first verse of Surah Al-Fatiha, which is Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen is translated as all praise belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or you can also translate it as all praise is specifically for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rabbil Alameen, the Lord of the universe, the Lord of the world. First of all, what's quite important to mention and appreciate, and you need to listen quite carefully here, right? What is the difference between a noun and a verb? So I want to test your language skills. What's the difference between a noun and a verb? Anyone know?
Yes, a noun is a name of something and a verb is a doing thing.
But yeah, a noun is a name of a person, a name of a place, yes? And a verb is what?
Action.
An action, yeah? You can remember your school days now, right? So they say a verb is a doing word. Yeah? A doing word meaning you is to do with action. Now the Mufassirin, when talking about Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, they say that Alhamd, the word Hamd, is a noun. Okay? In Arabic we say it's an ism. Okay? So it's a noun. So they bring a question that why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala start this sentence off with a noun? And why did he not say that Nahmadullaha Rabbil Alameen? That we praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The word Nahmadu is translated as we are praising or we will praise. Now what is the difference between Alhamdu and Nahmadu? Alhamdu is a noun, Nahmadu is a verb, right? Now what is the difference between a noun and a verb? A noun is not restricted to time. Yes? Whereas a verb is restricted to time. So we have the past tense verb, we have the present tense verb, and we have the future tense verb, right? So Allah could have said that نَحْمَدُ اللَّهَ رَبَّ الْعَالَمِينَ. So when we are reciting this, we say that we praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah could have said حَمِدْنَ اللَّهَ رَبَّ الْعَالَمِينَ. That we praised Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the past. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not say this. Allah said أَلْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. Why? Because when you use a noun, it is not restricted by time. And it gives the meaning of permanent, something being permanent. So we praised Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the past. We are praising Him now and we'll praise Him in the future. Okay? So this is the hikmah, the mufassirin, they mentioned that this is the wisdom of why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Okay? Because if we say that Nahmadullah Rabbil Alameen, that means that we are praising Him now. And it gives the impression that we didn't praise Him in the past and we're not going to praise Him in the future. Although the case is that we will praise Him, but the meaning doesn't give that off. Right? So this is why we say Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Okay? Now, talking about the word Alhamd. So we translate it as all praise. Yes? Praise. Hamd is translated as praise. However, there's a deeper meaning. Okay? That's a very loose translation. The deeper meaning of Hamd is that it entails or it includes the meaning of Hamd, which means praise, and shukr, which means thanks. Okay? So the Mufassirin, again, you know, they bring up questions that could possibly come in the mind of the reader. So what do they say? They said that what is the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't say ash-shukru lillahi rabbil alameen? That thanks belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is worthy to be thanked. Why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mention alhamd? And why did He not mention ash-shukr? So the Mufassirin, they say that alhamd is the highest form of praise. You cannot go higher than that. It's the pinnacle. And this is why in one hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he say that alhamdu ra'su shukr. That praise, the word alhamd, is the pinnacle of thanks. Right? Now, so they say that alhamd is all-encompassing. Right? It includes the meaning of praise, and it also includes the meaning of thanks. Now, what is the difference between them two? Alhamd is when you praise someone because he deserves to be praised. Because he has certain qualities inside him that it is so overwhelming that you are just obliged to say Alhamdulillah. Whereas ash-shukr is when someone has done you a favor and then you say thank you to him. Right? But we say Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Why? Because whether Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us blessings or not, He deserves to be praised. Why? Allah mentions, Allah answers that question because He is Rabbul Alameen. He is the Lord of the entire universe. Right? So this is the subtle difference between Alhamd and Ash-Shukr. Does everyone understand this now? Yeah? Alright. Moving on, we'll talk about the word Al. What does Al mean in Arabic? Al.
Gives a specific
code. What is the what? How do you translate it literally? So when you say al-bab, al-kitab, the. However, because Arabic is such an amazing language, right? In Arabic, we have different types of the, right? Different types of alif lams. So you have alif lam lil-ikhtisas, alif lam lil-istihqaq, and you have alif lam lil-istighraq. They're different types, right? The Mufassirin, or the grammarians, when studying this word Alhamd, they say that Alhamd, it is Alif Lam Al-Istighraqiyya. Al-Istighraqiyya means It gives the meaning that the entire praise, the entire concept of praise belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is why we translate it as all praise is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? We don't say the praise is for Allah. We say all praise is Allah. So the grammarians, they say that if you were to take the word alif lam out and replace it with kul, then it would be a perfect substitute. Why? Because kullu hamdin lillah, every type of praise belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this, because of all of these reasons, brothers, this is why the word alhamd is the highest form of praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is why this is the first verse of the Quran we recite when we are doing the khatam of the Quran. This is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala begins by introducing himself to his servants. He says, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Right? Moving on, there is a tradition which has been narrated in the books of tafsir, wherein Umar radiallahu anhu, he asked Ali radiallahu anhu, and he said that La ilaha illallah, subhanallah, Allahu Akbar, we all know these words, we all know the meanings of these words. Fama alhamdulillah, what does alhamdulillah mean? I haven't fully comprehended the meaning of alhamdulillah. So Ali radiallahu anhu, he says, kalimatun ahabbaha Allah, that it is a phrase, it is an utterance which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves. Right? وَرَضِيَهَا لِنَفْسِهِ, and he becomes pleased when a person, when his slave utters these words. So this is alhamdulillah. And in another hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says that when a person is in his salah, right, we all know that in a person's salah, it is obligatory, it is wajib to recite Surah Al-Fatiha in each and every single raka'ah. Right? Again, this indicates towards the importance of Surah Al-Fatiha. Right? So the hadith goes that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he says that when a person is standing in salah, he says Allahu Akbar, and he starts and he says Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he actually replies. Because we all know that when we are reading our salah, when we are saying Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, we are in a direct conversation with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahu Akbar. Just imagine, you are talking to Allah. So when you say to Allah that Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, that oh Allah, all praise belongs to you. All praise belongs to you. Why? Because you are the Lord of the worlds. What does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reply? He says, Hamidani Abdi. He says that my servant has now praised me.
Subhanallah.
Subhanallah. Look at this. Yeah? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is replying to us in our salah. But the problem with us is we don't know these things, right? So when we start our salah, we say, Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, Malik, Yawm al-Din, Iyyaka na'budu, you know, we just recite it. Yeah, it becomes like a normal thing that we just do. It's a habit, right? But when a person puts this in his mind that I am standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the only barrier between you and Allah is the barrier of vision. Otherwise, there is no barrier between you and Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking to you and you are talking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just imagine, brothers, right? So we need to think about all of these things, inshaAllah. Another virtue of the word alhamd is narrated on hadith wherein Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is narrated by Jabir ibn Abdullah, where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentions that أفضل الذكر لا إله إلا الله وأفضل الدعاء الحمد لله. This is mentioned in Nasa'i and Ibn Majah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says that the best form of remembrance is لا إله إلا الله. When you say لا إله إلا الله, this is the best form of remembrance. And just one story comes to mind. Wherein Musa alayhi salam, he spoke to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We all know that he was given a special quality, right? A special favor that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him, where he could directly talk to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? So he said that, oh Allah, give me something which you haven't given to any other prophet. Right? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that, say la ilaha illallah. Say la ilaha illallah. So Musa alayhi salam, he said that, oh Allah, you have told all the prophets this. Right? La ilaha illallah is something which is very common. Right? What did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? He says that there was a rock nearby. There was a boulder nearby. He said that, oh Musa, break this rock. What did he say? Break this rock. So Musa alayhi salam, he was a very powerful man, very strong man he was, right? So he broke this rock. And when he broke it into half, there was another rock. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him that break this rock as well. So Musa alayhi salam broke that rock and there was another rock. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that break the third rock. Musa alayhi salam broke the third rock. After the third rock, there was another small kind of pebble, right? And there was an ant on it. There was an ant on it. And this ant was eating something, right? It was eating a leaf. And it was glorifying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told Musa alayhi salam, he says that, O Musa, this La ilaha illallah that I have given you, nothing can be better than this. To the extent that even the ant in the rock, in the darkness of the night where no one can see this ant, no one even thinks about this ant, no one can even hear this ant, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is hearing the praises that this ant is saying. Just imagine, brothers, right? So praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how do you do it? What is the best form? By saying La ilaha illallah, right? And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says that afdalu du'a, that the best form of invocation is saying Alhamdulillah, right? The best form of invocation is to say Alhamdulillah. So is everything clear so far, right? So we've talked about the word Alhamd. Now Lillah, in Arabic, we have different types of lambs as well. Alright? It's ajeeb, huh? We have different types of lambs as well. We have lamb lil-ikhtisas, lamb lil-istihqaq, lamb lil-mulk. Okay? So this lamb, whenever lamb comes, okay, in Arabic, it gives a meaning either of ownership or either making something specific to someone. So Mufassirin, they say that either this lamb is for lil-mulk, that ownership. It gives the meaning of ownership, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He owns praise. However, they say that majority of the Mufassirin, they say that this lamb is for lil-ikhtisas, that praise specifically is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Meaning all types of praise, whenever you praise something, whenever you praise someone, you're having nice iftar, right? You have all these samosas, you have all this chicken biryani, right? All of these different types of food in front of you, and you say, Subhanallah, beautiful food. You are praising the food. But this, when you say Alhamdulillah, that all types of praise, remember we said Alif Lam Lil Istighraqiyya, all types of praise, when you are praising that food, you're actually praising Allah. Why? Because all types of praise returns back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? So this is Lillahi Rabbil Alameen. Right, Rabb. What does Rabb mean? How do you translate Rabb? Anyone know? The sustainer. Yeah, that is the best translation. Lord is a very, it's not the most accurate translation. Sustainer is the best translation. Why? Because Rabb comes from the word tarbiyah. What does tarbiyah mean? Upbringing. Yeah? So when a father does the tarbiyah of the child, it means that he is doing the upbringing of his child. He's teaching his child Islam. He's teaching his child manners. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has brought us up. He has provided us with provisions. He has given us all the various blessings that we see around us. So He is Rabb. Now the Mufassirin, they say that the word Ar-Rabb, Ar-Rabb, it is only specific to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it is not permissible for you to use it for anything else. However, they say that if you attribute it to something else, so those guys who have studied Arabic, when it's mudaf, yeah, when it's mudaf, yeah, you know what I'm talking about, right? Yeah, mudaf and mudaf ilay, right? So when you attribute it to something else, for example, you want to say the Lord of the house, yeah, the Lord of the house, you can say Rabbud Dar. There's no harm in that, right? But explicitly saying Ar-Rabb, it is not allowed. It is only allowed for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay? So that's another point worth mentioning, inshallah. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says that He is the Rabb of the Al-Alameen. Al-Alameen, the Mufassirin say that it is referring to everything that is in existence other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The entire world, this dunya and the akhirah. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the Lord of this world, and He is the Lord of the akhirah as well. Okay, so this is the tafsir of Al-Alameen. Now, I don't want to go too much into grammar, but when you do study grammar and you go deep into this verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is actually indicating in this verse, when He says that all praise is specifically to Allah, belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Lord of the worlds, He's actually indirectly telling us that, O my servants, if you want to praise me, then say Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. So So the Mufassirin, they say that قُولُوا يَا عِبَادِي أَلْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ إِذَا أَرَدْتُمُ الشُّكْرُ. That, oh my servants, say Alhamdulillah when you intend to thank me. When you intend to thank me, the best way of doing it is by saying Alhamdulillah. Okay? And they say Alhamdulillah is praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala specifically by the tongue. This is why when you say that, how are you, brother? What do you say?
Alhamdulillah.
Right? You don't say Ashukrulillah, you say Alhamdulillah. Why? Because you are praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through your tongue. But when you do shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is by the lisan and the jawarih, by the limbs as well. So when you are praying your salah, you are doing shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now inshallah, I just briefly want to talk about the importance of gratefulness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us various blessings. Various blessings. If you were to count the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, will you be able to count it? No. This is why Allah says, what does He say? إِن تَعُدُّوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْصُوهَا. That if you were to count the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you'll never be able to count it. And you know, the word تُحْصُوهَا, Allah could have said that لَا تَعُدُّوها, that you wouldn't be able to count it. There's two words of saying count. You have adad, to count something, and you have ahsa, yuhsi, which means it has a deeper meaning. It means to count something while being fully aware of everything around you. So even if you are aware of all the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala surrounding you, even then you won't be able to count Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's blessings. Right? So Allah says that وَإِن تَعُدُّوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْصُوهَا. If you are to count the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you will not be able to count these blessings. And wallahi, brother, just look at your life. Look at your body. Okay? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, just in the human body, has placed so many different types of blessings. The blessings of sight, the blessings of the hands, the blessings of the heart, the blessings of the intellect, which we boast about so much. But yet when we are praying in salah, we prostrate to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and put the most noble part of the body before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the ground. Why? Because we are doing shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we are saying to Allah that, oh Allah, I am only intellectual, I can only think straight. I am only clever because you have given me the ability to become clever. Why? Because the aql, the intellect belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? And this is why, just coming back to the importance of shukr, what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? He says that, لَإِن شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ. That if you proclaim thanks to me, I shall increase you. Increase you in what? Al-Hasan al-Basri rahimahullahu ta'ala, he says that أي لأزيدنكم في طاعتي. That I shall increase you by giving you the tawfiq, the ability to worship me even more. So what do we learn from this? That obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is it a burden? No, it is a gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, he interprets this verse and he says that لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ, meaning that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He will increase you in His blessings and He will increase you in His ajr, in giving rewards to you in the akhirah. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says that وَلَئِنْ كَفَرْتُمْ. However, O servants of Allah, if you are ungrateful towards me, إِنَّ عَذَابِي لَشَدِيدٌ. Then remember, my servants, that my punishment is most severe. Now just look how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is phrasing this. He doesn't say that وَلَئِن كَفَرْتُمْ, you know, that if you are ungrateful, I will definitely punish you. He didn't say that. However, when he talked about shukr, what did he say? He said, I'll definitely increase you in goodness. But when it came to punishment because of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's immense mercy, He didn't say that I will definitely punish you. He just hinted it towards us that inna adhabi la shadid, I'm warning you. But it doesn't necessarily mean that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is definitely going to punish us. It just proves the great mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? In another verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, وَقَلِيلٌ مِّنْ عِبَادِيَ الشَّكُورُ. That there's only a small group of my servants which proclaim thanks to me. Only a small number of servants proclaim thanks to me. And subhanAllah, you know, just in one of my tafsir classes when I was studying, I can't remember what the verse was, but my teacher was mentioning, he was talking about shukr. And he narrated to us a story. He says that one day Umar radiallahu anhu, during his khalifa, when he was the Amir al-Mu'mineen, he was walking past a person, and this person was making dua really loudly, and he was crying. And he said that, Allahumma ja'alni min ibadika al-qaleel. That, O Allah, make me from your servants, which you have explained to be, you know, the small number of your servants. So Umar radiallahu anhu, you know, he had a lot of temper, okay, for the sake of Allah. So he said, what are you saying? Why are you making this dua? This has not been, you know, taught to us by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So what did this man say? He said that, O Umar, O Amir al-Mu'mineen, if you look in the Quran, whenever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the word qaleel, it is always to do with something good. It is always regarding those servants which are very, very, on a very high status to Allah, very close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One example is the example I just gave, qaleelum min ibadiya shakur. Qaleelum qaleelam ma tashkurun. So many times Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses the word qaleel when He is praising the believers. When Umar radiallahu anhu heard this, he started crying. And he said that, by Allah, all praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who has given the knowledge of the Quran to His servants. So this person used to make this dua that, Oh Allah, make me from the servants which are, you know, small in number. Why? Because when they are small in number, the importance grows more. Yeah? The value grows more. Okay? So that's just one story that I thought I'd mention. Also, another thing that's mentioned in Tafsir al-Qurtubi when he was talking about ash-shukr. There's one incident that he mentions wherein Dawood alayhi salam, he asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said that, Ay Rabb, kayfa ashkuruk? That, oh my dear Lord, how shall I give thanks to you? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said that, you just proclaim my hamd. And then Dawood alayhi salam, he said that, but oh Allah, when I give thanks to you, the only reason why I'm giving thanks to you is because you gave me the ability to thank you. Everyone following me? Yeah? The only reason why I could say alhamdulillah is because you granted me the ability to say alhamdulillah. So now that means, because you granted me the ability, I need to thank you for that as well. Everyone following, yeah? And now when I thank you again you grant me the ability to thank you on the second occasion. And I need to thank you again because you gave me the ability. And it's just an infinite regress. If you study philosophy, yeah? Infinite regress. It goes on and on and on and on. I have to keep on thanking you, because whenever I do thank you, it's only because of you. So I have to keep on thanking you. You know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, so basically Dawood alayhi salam, he was saying that it's impossible to thank you, because I have to keep on thanking you all the time, and I can never reach the finish line. So what did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says that al-an shakartani, now you have thanked me. When you finally admit that you cannot thank me to the best of your ability, when you admit that fact, now you have thanked me. Okay, this was the discussion between Dawood alayhi salam and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So brothers, from the first ayah that لَإِن شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ وَلَإِن كَفَرْتُمْ إِنَّ عَذَابِ لَشَدِيدٌ, what do we learn? We learn that when a person thanks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it leads to a person's goodness being increased by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when a person is ungrateful, then what happens? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's punishment will come to this person. Okay? Last thing I want to mention just about hamd and shukr. You know, brothers, we, especially those people who, you know, they're not that practicing, okay? And they don't come to the masjid often, they don't pray their salah all the time, okay? Now, we don't look down on these people. We have mercy on these people, and we value these people, because at the end of the day, these types of people, they're still Muslim, right? And just because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us the tawfiq to, you know, maybe grow the beard, come to the masjid for all our salah, you know, be good at reciting the Quran, it does not mean that that person on the street who is smoking drugs and who is listening to music and who is committing all the types of evil, it does not mean that this person is, you know, he is a person who is so insignificant. But rather, when this person, in the month of Ramadan, when this person comes to the masjid, He comes with a very pure heart. Why? Because he truly wants to change. He has ikhlas, he has the sincerity of intention that he wants to change. But many people, they look down upon this person. Okay? But anyway, I was saying that it is a habit of the Muslims that whenever something bad happens in our life, when we have been afflicted by difficulty, whether it is difficulty in our wealth, difficulty, you know, in our family, any type of difficulty, whether it is in your health as well, what do we do straight away? Yeah, we do complain, yeah. But I didn't want to mention that. What else do we do? Immediately we turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has rectified our situation, what do? We turn away. Yeah? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentioned this in the Quran. That وَإِذَا مَسَّ الْإِنسَانَ ضُرٌّ دَعَانَا. That when harm afflicts man, دَعَانَا. He makes dua to us. Yeah? ثُمَّ إِذَا خَوَّلْنَاهُ نِعْمَةً مِنَّا. Then when we grab this ni'mah away from him, when we afflict him with harm so that we may test him, what does he do? When he gives us blessings, when he gives us blessings of Allah, when he gives us numerous blessings, what do we do? We turn away. And we start becoming arrogant. And this is exactly what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions. He said that, ثُمَّ إِذَا خَوَّلْنَاهُ نِعْمَةً مِنَّا قَالَ إِنَّمَا أُوتِيتُهُ عَلَىٰ عِلْمٍ. What does this person say? He says that this blessing that I have been given, it is only because of my knowledge. This is the ada of man, brothers. Right? So what do we learn? That be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in times of prosperity. And this is why there is one hadith which comes to mind, where in Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, very famous hadith, very powerful hadith as well. You'll find this in Riyadu Salihin. Where in Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he says that عَجَبٌ لِأَمْرِ الْمُؤْمِنِ. He says that I am astonished by the affair of the believer. Why? إِنَّ أَمْرَهُ كُلَّهُ لَهُ خَيْرٌ. That each and every type of affair of his is good for him. وَلَيْسَ ذَٰلِكَ إِلَّا لِأَحَدٍ لِمُؤْمِنٍ. That this is only specifically for a believer. What does he say? What does the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam say? He said that إِنْ أَصَابَتْهُ ضَرَّا صَبَرَ فَكَانَ خَيْرًا لَهُ. That when harm afflicts him, what does he do? He engages in patience. And that is good for him. وَإِنْ أَصَابَتْهُ سَرَّا شَكَرَ فَكَانَ خَيْرًا لَهُ. And when goodness, when prosperity afflicts him, what happens? He is grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for giving him all the blessings, and that is also good for him. So meaning, whatever your situation is, whether you're going through such a difficult time in your life right now, or whether you're going through such an easy time right now, either way you are being tested by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you are not grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take that blessing away from you, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will force you to turn to him. And again, this is through the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And now that leads on to the next verse. That Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. Subhanallah, look at the time. Inshallah, I'll carry on. Okay. Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. What does Ar-Rahman mean? Anyone? Ar-Rahman?
Merciful.
Yes, merciful. What Ar-Rahim mean? Ar-Rahim mean then. You know, Mufti Taqi rahimahullah, when he translated this verse, he translated as the most merciful, the most merciful. Because they literally mean the same thing. Ar-Rahman means the same thing as Ar-Rahim. And Ar-Rahim means the same thing as Ar-Rahman. But obviously in the Quran, there's a difference, right? What is this difference? Before we go to this difference, I want to mention something which is amazing. It is so amazing that subhanAllah, you know brothers, when I was studying for this class, when I came across this point that I'm going to mention right now, I was thinking about it all day. That's the power of the Quran, Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. It's just crazy, right? What is this point I want to mention? In Arabic, we call al-rabtu bayn al-ayatayn, the connection between the previous ayah and the present ayah, right? So the Mufassirin, Imam Qurtubi mentioned this in his tafsir, and he says that why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say ar-Rahman ar-Rahim after Rabbul Alameen? Yeah? Because he attributed himself of being the Lord of the entire universe, and then he said that I am the most merciful and I am the most gracious. Right? So what is the reason behind this? he mentions and he says that the reason behind this, in Arabic we say at-targhib ba'da at-targhib. At-targhib ba'da at-targhib. What this means is that when a servant recites Surah Al-Fatiha and he says Rabbul Alameen, what happens when you say Rabbul Alameen? What do you think of straight away when you say Lord of the Universe? What do you think of? You think of fear, yeah? That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so great, so great. And your heart, it is filled with awe of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Such is the power of Allah that He is the Lord of this dunya and the akhirah and the entire universe. So what happens to a servant when he's reciting Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen? He is overcome with fear. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows the emotion that he is going to go through. So what did he say? Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. That at the same time, I am the most powerful, I am the owner of the entire universe, but despite me being so powerful, despite this, I am also most merciful and I'm most gracious to my servants as well. This is the balance of the Quran. And this is a habit of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is a sunnah of Allah in the Quran. Let me give you another example. Allah says in another verse that نَبِّ عِبَادِي أَنِّي أَنَا الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. That inform my servants that I am the most forgiving and the most merciful. What does he say after that? وَأَنَّ عَذَابِي هُوَ الْعَذَابُ الْأَلِيمُ. That and inform my servants that my punishment is the painful punishment. One verse he's saying that I am most gracious, I am most forgiving, I am most merciful. The next verse he's saying that don't get carried away. Just because I'm merciful, don't take advantage of me. I'm also ready to punish anyone I feel like. In another verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says that غافر الذنب وقابل التوب شديد العقاب ذي الطول. Two phrases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala dedicated for his mercy. And two phrases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala dedicated for his power. Allah says that he is غافر الذنب, that he is the forgiver of sins. وَقَابِلِ التَّوْبِ, and he is the one who accepts repentance. شَدِيدِ الْعِقَابِ, he is the one who is severe in punishment. ذِي الطَّوْلِ, the possessor of strength and power. So two phrases of mercy and two phrases of punishment. This is the balance of the Quran. So in this why the Mufassirin, they say that this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said that Ar-Rahman and then Ar-Rahim. Shall we stop here or shall we carry on? Okay, we'll carry on inshallah. Now, what is the difference between Ar-Rahman and Ar-Rahim? Ar-Rahman is more generic than Ar-Rahim. Why is it more generic? Because Ar-Rahman encompasses the entire creation. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy encompasses the entire creation, whether that person may be Muslim or whether he may be non-Muslim. And this is why in one hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says that if this dunya was to be weighed up to the value of a wing of a mosquito, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would not grant drink to the disbeliever. If this dunya had any type of value, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would not give even a single sip of a drink to the disbeliever. But this dunya has no value to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this is why he gives the disbelievers and the oppressors that are in throughout the entire world, Allah gives them whatever they want. Why? Because ad-dunya sijnul mu'min wa jannatul kafir. That this dunya is the prison of the believer and the jannah of the kafir. Let them have whatever they want. Why? Because in jannah we are going to get whatever we want, and jannah is going to be forever. Subhanallah. Understand?
Inshallah.
So ar-Rahman is generic to everyone, all types of creation. Whereas Ar-Rahim is specifically for the believers. Why do I say this? Because in another verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, وَكَانَ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَحِيمًا. Talking about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he is the all-merciful to the believers. So Rahim is attributed to the believers. And this is why they say that the attribute Ar-Rahim, which is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is specific for the believers. Okay? And brothers, you know, we see the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala throughout our lives. Okay? It is related to the blessings of Allah and why we should give thanks to Allah. The mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so great that even the angels, when they make dua for us, did you know that angels make dua for us? Yes or no? They do make dua for us. In Surah Al-Mu'min, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that الَّذِينَ يَحْمِلُونَ الْعَرْشَ وَمَنْ حَوْلَهُ, that those servants who glorify Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and those malaika, those angels who surround the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the throne of Allah, يُسَبِّحُونَ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّهِمْ, they glorify Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَيُؤْمِنُونَ بِهِ, and they believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَيَسْتَغْفِرُونَ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, and they seek forgiveness for those people who have believed in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, meaning us. The angels say that, oh Allah, forgive your servants. Then what do they say? رَبَّنَا وَسِعْتَ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ رَحْمَةً وَعِلْمًا, that oh our Lord, oh our Master, you have encompassed everything in mercy and in knowledge. فَغْفِرْ لِلَّذِينَ تَابُوا, so forgive those people who turn into repentance. Those people who turn in repentance to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, forgive them. Why? Because you encompass everything in mercy. And this is why in another hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he quotes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that I have divided my mercy into 100 parts. My mercy is divided into 100 parts. 99 parts I have made specific for the day of Qiyamah. And one mercy, one part of my mercy I have revealed onto this world. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that it is due to this mercy why the people have mercy between themselves. Why the mother has mercy for the child. Why the people have mercy for the animals. Why, to the extent that the hadith actually mentions that to the extent that even the horse, it lifts its feet away from the baby, fearing that it may harm him. This is the power of Allah's mercy, and this is just one part of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy. Just imagine the other 99 parts. But at the same time, brothers, despite Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala being so merciful, He gives us chance after chance after chance. We sin so much in our lives, but despite this, He gives us Ramadan after Ramadan after Ramadan. Ramadan is already here. One day has already passed. We are on our second fast already. We are on our second fast already, and soon we'll be sitting here and we'll be waving Ramadan goodbye. And we do not know whether Ramadan is going to come for us again. We may be bidding farewell to Ramadan forever and ever. Why? Because we do not know when we are going to pass away. But despite this, despite us being so sinful, despite us being worthy of punishment, and we all know, brothers, that in our lives, we are so sinful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if He wanted to, He could have punished us ages ago. But He didn't. Why? Because He loves us so much. He loves us so much. And you know, the word Ar-Rahim is actually derived from the word Ar-Rahim. Who knows what Ar-Rahim means in Arabic? Ar-Rahim means the womb. The womb of the mother. And from Ar-Rahim, the womb of the mother, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala extracted His name, Ar-Rahman. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says in the hadith, He says that وَشَقَقْ أَنَا الرَّحْمَانِ, Allah says that I am Ar-Rahman. خَلَقْتُ الرَّحِمْ, I have created the womb. Now the muhaddithin, they say that what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is referring to here is maintaining ties of relationship. Yeah, because Ar-Rahim, Silatul Rahim in Arabic means to maintain ties of relationship. Right? And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says that وَشَقَقْتُ لَهَا إِسْمًا مِنْ إِسْمِ, that from my name I derived this name of Ar-Rahim, showing the importance of maintaining ties of relationship. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because He was the most merciful, and He came as a mercy for the entire mankind, He came as a mufassir of the Quran, He came as a teacher, He came with the best character. What did He say? He says that maintain the ties of relationship with those people who cut the ties of relationship with you. Those people, those families, relatives that you have who don't want to know you. Just because they don't want to know you doesn't mean that you don't want to know them as well. Islam does not teach us this. But rather Islam teaches us that those people who sever the ties of relationship, you join the ties of relationship. Such is the kamal of Islam. Such is the beauty of Islam. Why is it that people who want to attack Islam, they don't look at these parts of Islam? They only, you know, look at one part of Islam. And even that they interpret wrong. Why is it that they ignore this part? And why is it that we ignore this part? Being Muslims, being followers of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when it comes to maintaining ties of relationship, we have no Islam in our life. We pick and choose Islam wherever we want. We think Islam is just coming to the masjid. The main part of Islam is dealing with people, like I mentioned yesterday. If you cut your ties of relationship, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what does He say? He says that فَمَنْ وَصَلَهَا وَصَلْتُهُ, that whosoever joins the ties of relationship, I will join myself with this person. I will be close to this person. And whosoever severs the ties of relationship, I will sever my relationship with this servant. So brothers, we need to look at our families. You know, there's so many family problems. It's crazy. Okay? The amount of people I've met and the amount of people who have come to me with advice on solving family problems is crazy. Right? Why? Because we don't have Islam in our lives. And again, just like I mentioned yesterday, we should all remember the verse that, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أُدْخُلُوا فِي السِّلْمِ كَافَةً, that, O servants of Allah, O believers, enter into Islam completely. And how do you enter into Islam completely? By educating yourself about Islam. People, a lot of people don't even know that maintaining ties of relationship is something which is commendable in Islam. A lot of people don't know this. Why? Because they haven't studied these ahadith. So anyway, I was saying that Ar-Rahim, Ar-Rahim is specifically to the believers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He forgives our sins. And inshallah, we hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, on the day of Qiyamah, that 99 parts of His mercy that He has reserved for the day of Qiyamah, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will shower us with His mercy on the day of Qiyamah, so that we may enter Jannah. Why? Because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in one hadith that the servants of Allah will not enter Jannah through their actions. No matter how much you worship Allah, through your actions, you will never enter Jannah. Just because you pray 5 times salah, brothers, how many defects do we have in our salah? How many defects do we have in our salah? If you were to count our defects, you will be here all day. When we start salah, what do we think about? We think we're thinking about iftari. We're already on the dastarkhan. Yeah? We're already on the dastarkhan. Right? Some people, subhanAllah, while they're in salah, they're planning, how shall I sin? How shall I disobey Allah? While they're in front of Allah. So how defective is our salah? How defective is our praise? We praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with such pure words, but our tongue is so filthy. We look at the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but these eyes are so filthy. And wallahi, the best way of praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is using our limbs the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us to use them. How do we be thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for giving us eyes? By looking at the correct things and by abstaining from looking at the haram things. And same with the tongue and same with all the other parts of the body. Right? So the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so great that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says in the hadith that his servants will not enter Jannah through their action. So the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, do you know what they said? They said that, oh Rasulullah, what about you? You are the most perfect human being, the best person ever to walk on the face of this earth. What about you, O Rasulullah? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, oh my dear companions, even me, I don't know what is going to happen to me on the day of Qiyamah. Even through my actions, the high status of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam salah. Just imagine, brothers, yeah? You're fasting the entire day, and in Taraweeh, you come to listen to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam leading Taraweeh prayer. Just imagine. Yeah? Such amazing ibadah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But despite this, what did he say? He said that I am not going to enter Jannah through my actions. And then he said that unless Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala encompasses me and the entire believers with His mercy, this is the only way a person will enter Jannah. So we ask, and inshallah I'll conclude here, I'll finish off here. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, this is the month of mercy, that, oh Allah, please have mercy upon each and every person who is sitting in this gathering, inshallah. Everyone who is listening to this now, and whoever's recording and will listen to it later, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to completely encompass us with His mercy and forgive our sins. Brothers, make intention to change your life. Make intention that at the end of this Ramadan, I completely want to change. Look at Dhuhr Salah, brothers. People are going upstairs. Look, hello. Yeah, people are looking up there. People are praying Salah upstairs. For Dhuhr Salah. Yeah? For Dhuhr Salah. Taraweeh prayer, I don't come here, but I'm sure it's full. It's heaving with people. But after Ramadan, what happens?
Inshallah.
Khalas, everything's gone. Should this be our attitude? No. Make intention that I want to come to this masjid and I want to populate this masjid completely for every salah, inshallah. Okay? So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inshallah, to grant us all the ability to grant us the knowledge of the Quran.
Ameen.
I know you're going to ask me. Okay? I'll do it, inshallah. Okay? We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept this gathering. And I ask personally, I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive me if I've said anything that has been incorrect. وآخر دعوان الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. Just like yesterday, inshallah, I'll recite سورة الفاتحة and conclude. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
آمين.
جزاك الله خيرا. إن شاء الله tomorrow we'll move on to the next verses, إن شاء الله.
جزاك الله خيرا.
God Almighty, with His mercy has blessed you. You are too good to be a student yourself.